Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Nedarim Daf Lamed Aleph. We begin right on top at the Mishnah. We're going to discuss several more examples of expressions and their implications in terms of Nedarim. Says the Mishnah, Hanoyder Mishavs Yeshabbos. A fellow says, I'm going to keep away. I'm going to make a nether. No Hanoah for me from those Shavs Yeshabbos. I will not have Hanoah from those who rest on Shabbos. Who is included? Asar B'Yisrael, Asar B'Kutim, regular, ordinary Yisraelim, and also the Kutim. That group which had this questionable conversion. Apparently, at this point, we consider them Yisraelim, as opposed to later on in history when they were relabeled. But at this point, they were still observant, and they are considered Shavsei Shabbos, those who rest on Shabbos. Next category. He's keeping away by way of a nether from Me'echlishim, those who consume garlic on Friday night. This is a takana instituted by Ezra HaSofer to increase the supply of Zera in preparation for the interaction, the Oina, which was specific to Friday night. So those who adhere to this takana are considered Oichle Shum. So again, a nether from Oichle Shum includes Yisraelim and Kutim as well. Osir b'Yisrael, Osir b'Kutim. Third expression, Ma'il Yerushalayim. A nether from those who travel up to Yerushalayim for Yom Tov. Who's included? Osir b'Yisrael. Ordinary Yisraelim are included, but not the Kutim, Umutar b'Kutim, because they didn't bother going to Yerushalayim. They had their own place on top of Har Gerizim. So in the first case, Meshavsei Shabbos, we include Yisraelim and Kutim. Asks the Gemara, Meshavsei Shabbos, what did he have in mind? Shavsei Shabbos means those who simply rest on Shabbos? What about Goyim who rest on Shabbos? Why are they not included? Ilei Mamim Mekayimi Shabbos. Are we speaking about those who rest on Shabbos, practically keep the Shabbos? Well, then, my area b'kutim, why stop at the kutim? Afilu evdi kechavim nami, include even non-Jews who happen to rest on Shabbos. They too should be included. So why not? Elo memetzuvim al Shabbos. Apparently, Shavsei Shabbos is a reference to those who are instructed by Hashem to keep Shabbos. That only includes Yisraelim and Kutim, who are considered part of Klal Yisrael. Yachi, if that's the case, we're speaking about somebody who's mitzvah, somebody who's commanded to do so. Amos Sefer, let's move on to the last example in the Mishnah. I'm keeping away, Me'eli Yerushalayim. Who's included? Also be Yisrael. Umutar b'Kutim. Question. Am I? Why is he mutar to have an offer from Kutim? Aren't they also included in the mitzvah of Aliyah Regel? What mitzvah ninu? Amar Abaye. It's neither this nor that. We're not focusing on practical observance, nor are we focusing and limiting to mitzvah. You need both together. Mitzvah isekatani. We are referring to those who are instructed, commanded, those who have a mitzvah, and carry it out. And that explains the entire Mishnah. Betarti bavi kamais. In the first two examples, Mishayb se Shabbos, Me'echlishon. It means those who are supposed to and actually do these things. And therefore, Yisrael, v'kutim, mitzuvin v'oisim. Yisrael and kutim are included because they are commanded and they actually follow through. As opposed to Oyvdei Kechavim, who perhaps will rest on Shabbos. Ha'udah Avdi, even those who keep the Shabbos, oisim v'einam mitzuvin, perhaps they'll just rest, but it's not on account of a mitzvah. And therefore, they're not included in the nether. Likewise, in case number three, Ba'ila Yerushalayim, I'm keeping away from those who travel up to Yerushalayim, the regal, Yisrael, mitzvah v'oisim. When it comes to Yisrael, they have a mitzvah of Aliyah l'regel, and they actually carry it out. But the Kutim, unfortunately, although they are mitzvah, they are supposed to do it, v'einam oisim. They don't fulfill their obligation, and therefore they're not included. So in conclusion, all these terms, Shavsei Shabbos, Oichli Shum, Oili Yerushalayim, is a reference to those who are supposed to and actually do these things. And hence, the three halachas. Koinim She'eni Nenel B'ni Noach. I'm making a neder. I cannot have anoach from descendants of Noach, those who identify with Noach. Who's included? Mutar be Yisrael. Vasar b'ayv d'kichav. Yisrael are not included, but Goyim are. Yisrael minafik mikhal b'nei Noach. Why are Yisrael not considered b'nei Noach? We all come from Noach. The answer is, kivin d'igdish Avram. Once Avram Avinu elevated himself and relabeled himself as Hashem's man, he was the first ger. Yiskru al Shmei, going forward, all his children and descendants, all of Kol Yisrael, identify with Avram Avinu. And therefore, the term Bnei Noach no longer applies to us, at least in terms of Nedarim. Rather, it's a reference to the Oed Kechavim, who trace their lineage back to Noach. Interesting to note that the Rush adds that the Gerim, although they're not naturally the children of Avram, but they are also considered Zera Avram. And he says, because all Shomrei HaTorah are considered Zera Avram because he was the first Ger. In fact, his name, Avram Avinu, denotes as such that he is the patriarch of all the Gerim, Ke'av Hamoin Goyim Nesaticha, Av L'chol HaGoyim, father of all nations, of those who choose to join the holy nation. In fact, that's why we relate to a ger as Ben Avram, because in a spiritual sense, he's the son of Avram Avinu as well. A fellow says, She'eni nene l'zer Avram. Here we have the reverse. I am keeping away from Avram Avinu's seed, Avram Avinu's descendants. Who identifies with Avram Avinu? Only Yisraelim. Also be Yisrael. Keep away from Yisraelim. They are Zera Avram as opposed to Goyim. Only Yisraelim come from Avram Avinu? Ishmael. What about Ishmael, a son of Avram, and all his descendants? Answer, Kibi Yitzchak, Yikar El Chazara. Hashem tells him, only Yitzchak is truly your descendants, your seed. He's a copy, he emulates. He's one who perpetuates your continuity. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazar aksiv. And only him and his children identify with you. Well, within Yitzchak we have Esav as well and his descendants. They too should identify with Avram Avinu. Well, you call Esav. Answer is, he said, ki bi Yitzchak, v'lo yikal Yitzchak, only part of Yitzchak, meaning Yaakov and his children, relate to Avram Avinu. A fellow gets up and says, She'eni nehna mi Yisrael. I will not have a na from all Yisrael. How does he do commerce? How does he conduct transactions? Lekech b'yeser. When he purchases, he buys high, he buys expensive, so that he does not have any gain or benefit from that deal. When he sells an item, he sells it cheap. This way, he's selling it at a loss, not having any hanah from this transaction. What about if he says, She Yisrael, Nehenin Li? Nobody could have hanah from me. How does he do business? We switch it around. Loikeach bepachis. When he purchases, it's for a cheap price. So the other fellow has no hanah from him. Umeichab b'yaseh, when he sells it expensive. So once again, the customer will not enjoy that interaction. Ve'ein shemin leve practically. Who's going to listen to him? He's in a pretty tough predicament. What about She'eni Nenel Lohen? Vainly. It's going to be a mutual neder. I can't have enough from them, nor can they have enough from me. Now he's really stuck. He can't sell or buy, cheap or expensive. Inevitably, somebody will have benefit. Yehen Nelo Evit Gechavim. So he has to deal with Goyim to avoid any issues. Amar Shmuel. Halekeach Klim Yen Ho'oman. Levakre, a fellow walks into a store, picks up an item, and starts examining the item with the intent of purchasing the item. And the Gemara soon will tell us. We're speaking about Zbino Harifa. You see, there are three types of situations in terms of the marketplace. You have an item which is a hot selling item, strong supply, low demand. It's called Zbino Harifa, sharp. A hot sale. In that case, the buyer is actually benefiting. Meaning, the seller can find many buyers. He doesn't just need you as a buyer. He's not really having enough from you. He could, for the same money, sell it to somebody else. So you, the buyer, is actually considered the one who's having hanah. That's by a zvina harifa, a hot-selling item. You have zvina mitzah, an average item, meaning supply and demand are more or less reasonable. Then you have zvina derami ala pei, an item which is sort of flat on its face, no buyers. In that sense, the seller is pretty glad, is pretty eager that you came along to purchase the item. He's the one having the hanah. So Shmuel, the Gemara soon will tell us, is speaking about the first type of category, zvina harifa, something which sells easily, in which case, actually, the buyer is pretty eager, pretty happy to get this item. He's having the hanah from the meicher. So he picked up this item to take a good look at it with the intent of purchasing the item. V'nenas b'yodeh, and suddenly it slips out of his hand. There's an einus, and it breaks, and it's damaged. Who's responsible? He hadn't yet purchased the item, but he's holding on to it for that sake, for that purpose. Chayev. The potential customer has to pay for that item. Why? Because we consider him like a borrower, like a shayel. What constitutes a shayel? Why is a shayel chayev even if some emergency occurs? Oines. The Gemara tells us because it's kol hana'ah shaloi. It's all to his gain. The other fellow has nothing from it. I'm lending you an item, being nice to you. You're the sole beneficiary of this transaction, here as well. When it's a zvina harifa, when it's a hot-selling item, you're the customer, having the entire hanah. The meicher has no hanah from it. He can, for the same money, find somebody else to buy the item. You're the hanah, you're the shoyel, you're the kol hanah shaloi, you're chayv, even bo'insin. Alma kasavar, apparently Shmuel holds, hanah asle ke'achi, a fellow who picks up an item, a fellow who's buying an item, who's having the hanah? Who's benefiting from the deal? Primarily it's the lekeach. And that makes him a shoyel who takes full responsibility. Tonight we're going to have a kasha from our Mishnah, which discusses this very matter. Who's the one who really benefits when a transaction occurs? Now again, when we speak about benefiting, of course, ultimately everybody gains. Look, I'm in business. I'm in a wholesale business. I have a full supply of items. I'd like to get rid of them, obviously. That's how I make parnasa. On the other hand, the lokeach, who purchases something, of course he's having an, otherwise he wouldn't be spending the money for it. The item to him is worth more than the money at this point. So ultimately, there's hanah all around. That's not the point of Al-Gamar. As the Ran points out, we're not speaking about who benefits from this item, who benefits from this money, received in exchange for the item. That's not the point. We're speaking about the personal perspective of this transaction. Mishnah says, I'm making a nether against having enough from you as a person. We're trying to avoid personal benefit. So, in a case where it's a hot-selling item, who's having hanah? Who's providing hanah to whom? Can you say that the meicher, the seller, is enjoying the lekeach's offering? No. I could have sold it to the next person. There's a whole lineup trying to buy this item. Of course I want to sell the item, but you're not providing me with hanah. It could have been somebody else for the same money. On the other hand, if it's a slow-selling item, and you come forth and you buy it, then I'm actually having hanah from you. Because if it's not you, who says somebody else will come and purchase it for this price? So it's all about personal hanah. And, you know, depending on the situation, we will have to determine who's the one having hanah from whom. Okay, so Shmuel indicates the lekeach is the one having the hanah. And therefore, he's responsible for even an oinus. Tanan, the Mishnah says, she'ein inanim Yisrael. I will have no hanah from Yisrael. How does he get around that? Meicher v'pachis. So it says lekeach b'yoser, right? When he buys, it's high, it's expensive, and when he sells, it's for cheap. This way, he has no hanah from the other person. Aval shava b'shava loy. But you can't sell it for actual market value, lest you have hana from that deal. Why is that hana to the moicher? V'hana's lekechi, if you just told me. When you purchase an item, typically it's the lekech, enjoying. It's lekech, benefiting. So in our case, I said I can't have hana from you. Why can't I just sell it to you for fair market value? You're the one having hana, not me. Afilu shava b'shava. Answers the Gemara, well, all depends on the item. All depends on supply and demand. How difficult or how easy it is for me to sell that item. And that will determine whether or not I'm benefiting from your offering to buy that item. Mas nisen our Mishnah, which indicates that if I sell the item for a shava for its actual value, I am the one having a no. Bezvina de Rami Alapay, speaking about a very slow selling item. Something for which there is no demand. And when you, the Lekeach, comes forth and offers to buy that item, I'm jumping from glee. I'm having a no from you. Unless I have to sell it at a loss. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. Sell it at a loss, in which case, well, for that price, I can have a lineup to buy the item. So once again, I'm no longer having enough from you. That's the solution to the problem. Whereas Shmuel, as we said before, speaking about Azmina Harif, a quick-selling item, something for which there's lots of demand. In that case, who's having the Hano? The Loikeach. And therefore, he is responsible for anything that happens. Okay, so the Mishnah is speaking about a slow-selling item, Rami Lapeh. M.K. And if that's the case, in the Mishnah, Eima Reisha, let's go back to the first part of that din. I can't have enough from Yisrael. When I buy, I have to buy high, above market value. When I sell, I have to sell cheap. M.K. and Eima Reisha, Lekech B'Yoyse. So I have to buy high. And the question is, why? If it's a zvina de rame al pei, an item which for which there isn't much demand, so even if I pay the actual market price, I'm not having a no from it. You're the one pleased with my offer. You're the one happy that I'm coming to buy that item. It's something which you would have a very difficult time selling. The fact that I'm coming to you and buying it for actual market value, that's to your benefit, your gain. There's nothing for me in it. So why do I have to buy it b'yoser? Why do I have to pay extra for it not to be considered my hana? Even shava b'shava, if it's a bad selling item, even shava b'shava is considered like I got the raw end of the deal. You're the one having a no. That's one kasha. Void another kasha. Emo seifa. Let's move on to the next example in the Mishnah. The fellow gets up and says, she's royal nanali. I'm committing by way of neder. All of Yisrael cannot have a no from me. So he switched around the arrangement. They can't take from me. How do we buy and sell? Lekeach b'pachis or moicha b'yesa. So when I buy expensive. When I buy, I buy cheap. So you don't have an offer from me. So when I sell high. Okay? This way, you have no an offer from me. I'll pay. We're speaking about this inferior item, which nobody wants to buy. I feel the shove be shove. So why do I have to sell it at a high price so that you shouldn't have an offer from me? Even if I sell it for its actual value, you have an offer from me? It's an inferior quality item. You're actually doing me a favor by buying the item at this good price. So the Mishnah seems to be, you know, it's not matching up. It's inconsistent. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Seifa b'zvina harifa. This last halacha, this second case in the Mishnah, of Yisroel can't have enough from me, etc., is speaking, it's a hot selling item, something popular, something which goes easy, something which will be sold out in no time. In which case, if I sell it for its actual price, you're jumping from joy. You're glad to have this deal. In order for us to avoid you having enough from me by buying that item, you have to pay extra. You have to pay high. And that explains the halacha of Meicher Bar Yaiser. You can't have enough from me. You have this popular item here. Pay extra. In which case, you're not really enjoying the deal. If that's the case, we're speaking about a popular item. So let's go back to the first aspect of that second case in the Mishnah. Again, we're speaking, you can't have enough from me. Mishnah says, when you buy from me, when I buy from you, I buy cheap. When I sell expensive. Why sell expensive? We just explained. But why do I have to buy cheap? I feel a shava b'shava. Once we're saying that it's zvina harifa, it's a popular item. So, in order for you not to have enough for me by selling me the item, just sell it to me for actual value, for shava b'shava. In which case, you're not having enough from that deal. You could find 10 other people who would offer the same. So why do I have to buy it cheap for it, for us to avoid your hanah from me? Even shava b'shava would accomplish the same. You're not having enough from my purchase. 10 other people would buy the same item for that price. You're right, says the Gemara, the whole thing is not working out. Elamas nisen bezvina mitzah. So mitzah is that mid-quality item. Something for which there is a reasonable amount of supply, a reasonable amount of demand. In which case, it's all about the price. So if you sell it, you know, for its actual value, shove it b'shove it, everybody is happy, the seller or the buyer. When you sell it cheap, the buyer is happy and not the seller. When you sell it expensive, the seller is happy and not the buyer. And that explains the entire Mishnah. So in the first example in the Mishnah, I can't have enough from Yisrael. We're speaking about Zvina Mitzah, a reasonably, you know, a selling item. So then, the only way to avoid my hanah from you is buying it expensive and selling you cheap. In the second case, you can't have enough from me. So then, I have to buy cheap and sell expensive. Whereas Shmuel, who told us, the customer lifts an item for examination with the intent of purchase, is considered a shoyel because he's the one ultimately benefiting. But the Shmo Bezvina Harif was speaking about a hot selling item, something popular, something for which there's lots of demand. Lots of demand, in which case, the purchaser, the potential customer, is the one that's having Hano. And therefore, he's classified as a Shoyel, who's fully responsible. Tanaka was say the Shmuel, have a right to Shmuel's concept, that is called a Shoyel. Halakeach Kelim Minatagar. So a fellow who's engaged, he's a chassan, he picks up some items from the dealer. L'shagron l'beis chomev, with the intent of sending it over to his kala, over to his in-laws, for the purpose of gifting his kala. V'amar lo, he tells the merchant, look, I'm not sure if this is going to work. Here's the deal. Im mekablen oisen mimeni. If they accept this gift, okay, deal. Ani noisen l'chadmeim, I'll pay you whatever it is. But if it's not really accepted and it's coming back, I'll return the item to you, unpaid. But I'm willing to give you some token amount. You know, the residual benefit that I have from it. The Ran says they're machzikli teva, you know, they'll appreciate the fact that I offer them this gift as an expression of, you know, generosity or closeness. That much, that hanah that I have from their, you know, recognition and appreciation, that much I'll give you. Now what happens if something goes awry? If the item gets damaged? Nansu, something beyond his control happens. The item is gone. Is he responsible? Well, it depends. Bahalicha chayev. If it's en route to his in-laws, so he's still a potential customer for this hot-selling item, chayev. He's considered a shayeh, like a borrower, in line with Shmuel's concept, and therefore he's chayiv even if an oynas happens. B'chazor apatav, if it's on the way back to the dealer, he's no longer a potential customer at this point. He's not responsible for oynas. Why? Now he's reverted to a neishei sachar, like a fellow who's watching an item in exchange for a fee. Why is he considered even a neishei sachar who is responsible for gneva v'aveda, loss or thievery, robbery? Not oynes, but gneva v'aveda, yes, because, as the Ran explains, v'pnei she nehen imahane, the fact that I had anoa from you, I enjoyed, I benefited from it, I'm willing to reciprocate and undertake some limited form of responsibility, at least like a neisei sacha. But bottom line is, you see Shmuel's concept in this brisa, that at least on the way there, when he's still a potential customer, he's a shayel, he's fully responsible. We have another story, which substantiates this halach. Hosaf Sira, there was this middleman, an agent, the shakal chamra lizvuni. He took the donkey from the dealer in order to sell it on the marketplace and to make a profit. V'lo yizban, it wasn't sold, it wasn't successful. V'hadi the hadar, on the way back to the farm, itnis, chamra, an oynis occurs, and the donkey's gone. Chayvei Rav Nachum l'shlumei, Racham says, you have to pay up. You're an oynis, but you're a shayel. Eisvi Ravel Rav Nachman, what do you mean? He's on his way back. The Braisa told us, Nansu b'halicha chayv, b'chazor apater. The story of the chasm with the kala. Oynis is only wise on the way there, but on the way back. His she'ela, his being considered a borrower, is done and over with. I know with certainty, I'm not using it, I'm not buying it anymore. So on the way back, he's not a she'el, he's potter from oynis. So why do you say that on the way back to the farm, you have to look after the donkey as a she'el? Amarle, he responds, this is Rav Nachman, big difference. Chazara de safsira hoylochahi. Even the return trip of the middleman is in the same category as hoylocha, as the way there of the chasam. You know why? The ilu. Mashkach lezvuni. Because when it comes to a middleman, suppose he finds a customer on the road, afilu above the base, even at the doorway of the entranceway of his own home. He's a step out of his house. He's already almost in his house. Milo Masbili, wouldn't he sell it to the buyer? Of course, he's always available to sell. So the status remains unchanged until he actually gives back the donkey. So in the case of the chasen, he's a shoyl, as long as there's a chance that he will actually cash in on the deal, on the way to the in-laws. But once it's been rejected, he's no longer a shayel. As opposed to a middleman, he's a shayel all along, until he actually returns the item to its owner. So bottom line is, when a fellow sells, who's the one having an offer from whom? Who's the provider? And who's the beneficiary? Well, it depends what we're speaking about. If it's a zvina charifa, something for which there's high demand, the buyer is always the one having anor. As opposed to zvina derami ala pei, a hard-selling item, it's the seller who's having the anor. as opposed to Azvina Metzia, something which is, you know, an average, a typical item, there, well, depends how much you're charging. Market value, they're both enjoying the deal. Overpriced, the seller. Underpriced, the buyer. Says the Mishnah, Koinim She'ani Nene La'Reilim. I'm making a nether against having an offer from Ar-Reilim. Who's Ar-Reilim? Typically, it is assumed an Ar-Reil is a fellow without Mila. And the Mishnah will tell us it's not necessarily so. Ar-Reilim is referring to a class of people who are Ar-Reilim. Goyim are Ar-Reilim. Mutar ba'arli Yisrael. You can have an off from a Yisrael, even though he's an Earl. V'asur b'muli avid kechavim, rather than goyim who have Mila. Why? A Yisrael, by definition, is called a mul. A goy is called an Earl. Likewise, shaninen alamulim. In the reverse, I'm having no anof from those who had Mila. Also, ba'arli Yisrael, mutar b'mul of Gechav. You can't have anof from Yisrael, even though they're Arelim. He's part of the nation that has Mila, as opposed to the Goyim. Even with a Mila, still called Arelim. Sheina Erla, Keruya, Elo l'shem of Gechavim. Erla is a term applied to Goyim in general. Whether or not they have experienced Bris Mila, Shenemar, ki kol ha-Goyim Arelim. V'chol b'is Yisrael Arelim. Voimer Bahia Plishti Aralaza, Voimer Pentis Machin Blaze Plishtim Pentalois Nabnis Arelim. So we see recurringly, Arelus is attributed to Goyim. Ravaz Nazari Aime Musahi Arla. Arla is disgusting. Shin is Ganabur Shoim. It's used to describe the Rishoim in a negative context. Shanema Kikola Goyim Arelim. Rishmol Aime Gdoila Mila. On a positive note, look how great Bris Mila is. Shanich Rasu Aleo. Shloish Esri Brises, we find the term Bris mentioned 13 times in the parsha of Bris Mila. 13 Brises, 13 Midei Shel Rachmim, the eternal bond with Hashem. Rabbi Yisu Emigdela Mila Shadechas HaShabbos HaChamura. Look how great Mila is. It can even override Shabbos. One may do a melacha to do Mila even on Shabbos. Rabbi Shoben Karucha Emigdela Mila Shalainitla Lamaisha Tzadik Alea Malaisha. Look how great Mila is. Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, was held accountable for delaying Bris Mila on his son, even for a short moment. Look how great Mila is. It can override Negat Tzaras, which can be removed for the sake of Mila. Rabbi Yimagdela Mila, Shekola Mitzvah Shos Avram Avinu, Leinikrus Shalim Atshema. Look how great Mila is. Inasmuch as Avram Avinu was involved in all the mitzvahs, he wasn't considered complete and full and tam until he did the Bris Mila. Shenemar, he's Salech Lafana Ve'yisamim. In order to be a Tamim, you have to do Bris Mila. Dabar Acha, finally, Gedoyla Mila, look how great Bris Mila is. Shalom Molehi, if not for Bris Mila, Loi Barak, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elam Hashem would not have created the entire world. Shanamar Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem. Im Loi Brisi, if not for the concept of Bris, the entire world with all its arrangements, Yemim Valayla, Chokei Shemayim Varetz, Loi Samti, I would not have established. Ta'anyo, Rabbi Shoben Karuch Ha'im, Gedoyla Mila, look how great Mila is. Shekol Zechuyo, Yishu'asa Mesh Rabbeinu. With all his great deeds, Moshe Rabbeinu was in trouble, so to speak, when it seemed that he had neglected Bris Mila. All the schusim did not protect him when he exhibited slight carelessness in terms of Bris Mila. Shenemar, Vayifkesheu Hashem, Vayivakesh Hamisoi. Hashem met up with him and he was going to apply Misa to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rabbi Chas v'Shom, Moshe Rabbeinu Nisrashal Min HaMila. Chas v'Shom that Moshe Rabbeinu neglected Bris Mila. It wasn't that. Rather, Elokach Amar. He figured, it's not timely. It's not appropriate. Emol, should I do Bris Mila now? V'Eitzei and go travel to Mitzrayim as per Hashem's instructions? I can't do it, Sakani. It's going to be putting the child in danger. Traveling right after this operation. Shenema V'Yiva Mashlishi. V'Yisim Koyavim. We find by Shimon Relevi, they took advantage of day 3 of Shechem, and Iran says, you know, once 1, 2, 3 days pass, the person who experienced Bris Mila weakens, and by the time the third day comes around, he's already very weak, in a very weakened state. I can't take this child in this situation to Mitzrayim. Emol v'esher shleshi yamim. Okay, should I do Bris Mila? Wait 3 days. if I travel? I can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Li Le'echshav Mitzrayim. Hashem instructed me to go with my family to Mitzrayim. So the fact that he delayed the Bris Milah, there's nothing wrong with that. Elam Ibn Ma'anan HaShem Moshe, why then was Moshe Rabbeinu punished when he was threatened by that snake? Because he was involved in his lodging. When he came to the place of lodging, he was busy with that. Instead, he should have gone straight to the Bris Milah. The Pasuk is making reference to the Molin to indicate that somehow took priority when Bris Milah should have been the first thing on the list. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu who was being threatened by the Satan. Or by the Malach, it says on the side, because Malach, Laharik. Elul Satinik, rather it was the baby who was in danger. Shanamar ki chasan damim atali. Sipur says, well, you're chasan damim. What does that mean? Say, Ray, go take a look. Mikori chasan, who's referred to with the name chasan? Havi Omer Zatinik. It's a child who is now inaugurated into mitzvahs. This is his first mitzvah experience, like a wedding. The child who experiences Bris Milah is called a chasan. You, the child, you're the chasan damim, you would have generated misa upon yourself. You were being threatened because of this apparent negligence. Okay, so what do we learn today? Shavsi Shabbos includes Yisraelim and Kutim, Eich Lashem as well. Eilu Yerushalayim excludes the Kutim. The point is, we're speaking about Metzuvim, Bo'isim, those who are commanded and actually fulfill these things. Yisraelim are called Bnei Avram, Zer Avram. Non-Jews are called Bnei Noach. A popular item, Azvina Khalifa, is to the Lekeach's benefit. Azvina Mitzah, a mid-item, well, depends on the price. Arelim refers to Goyim, in all circumstances, and Mulim to Yisraelim, we learned about the detriments of Arla and the greatness of Bris Milah. All the best to you, and may you have much Hatzlacha and Siyata D'Shmaya.